AM 1160 The Quest welcomes you to Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues, primarily legislative issues in the Georgia General Assembly, but also some national issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Issues critical to restoring and protecting a culture that enable families to flourish and the kingdom of God to advance. Your hosts are Patty DeCraney and Jane Robbins. Jane worked at the Georgia Legislature and has maintained her connections there, so she's plugged in under the gold dome. Now, here's Jane and Patty.
As the Georgia General Assembly heads into its final week, everything speeds up and almost anything can happen. It's crazy. And how fast it's come to this, Jane.
Yes.
Today, Jane and I will give you an update on what happened this past week with the bills we're following. This was the last major committee and floor push before sine die, which is the final day. That happens on Holy Thursday, April 2nd. 2026. What a week to finish. Because it's Holy Week that we're approaching, I'd like to start us off with a prayer, and we'll ask for the intercession of our patron saint, St. Thomas More. Heavenly Father, as we enter this Holy Week, we pause to remember the sacrifice and love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us and all of the legislators humility in our decisions, wisdom in our leadership, and courage to stand for truth. Help us to serve with hearts rooted in justice, guided by mercy, and committed to the dignity of every human life. Saint Thomas More, the patron saint of our show, pray for us. Jane, I know we have a lot to cover. Let's start with the bills related to marijuana.
Okay, we've been talking about these a good bit, and there are still four bills out there, and there has been some movement on most or all of them. One is SB 220. This is the medical marijuana expansion bill, which is opposed by the Georgians for Responsible Marijuana Policy. And we've had Michael Mumper from that organization on before this year. Mm-hmm. So this bill, medical marijuana expansion, has passed now both the House and the Senate. Now, it has changed somewhat because in one way it's gotten better in that they were going to increase the long list of medical conditions that mm-hmm. marijuana could be, you could get a marijuana card for to treat. And they were going to add insomnia and arthritis. Well, that got written out this past week. So that's a good thing. Bad thing is that the bill increases the potency of marijuana that can legally be given to a, quote, patient with a marijuana card from 5% potency to unlimited.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And this is, we're talking about the THC.
Yes, the THC.
In marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, it was all to be 0.3%.
It's gone. I don't remember what the floor was, but it was under 1%, and now they're saying, oh, doesn't matter, just whatever.
And the minimum is even higher, 5%.
5%.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was, right now it is 5% in the law.
Right.
And so they want to get rid of that, say it's unlimited. And
oh, my goodness.
The bill, as it is written now, allows for more than a 10-month supply, which no other medical prescription will give you. You can't get a medical prescription for 10 months worth of something. You just can't.
Oh, my gosh.
So
So
this is still a bad bill. It's not as bad as it was, but it's still very, very bad. But it has passed both the House and the Senate, which means it goes to the governor.
Well, isn't there, because of some of these changes, isn't there still more discussion on this bill?
I don't think so. I checked on that this morning, and I think that it's been everything, all the steps have been complied with. So I think it goes to the governor.
So what do we do about that?
What we do is you call the governor or you email the governor.
Okay.
And we'll put that in our show notes. But his number is really easy to remember because all of the numbers down there, almost all of them, start with 656. So his is 404-656-1776.
Interesting.
So that's the governor. So this is SB 220. If you want to give Governor Kemp a call and tell him that we don't need this. So, and you can always go, for any of these bills, you can go to the website for the Georgians for Responsible Marijuana Policy, and it will explain everything.
Right.
So, you can, if you have any questions.
So, you could learn and then educate educate our governor mm-hmm. about this, because he's looking at a lot of bills and yeah. may not understand really the effect of this.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So then we move to SB 33. This bill is to... It started out closing the loophole on unregulated intoxicating hemp products. And the GRMP originally supported this bill, has now moved its status to they're monitoring this bill. It took a very strong bill to essentially ban these products, and the amendments have weakened the bill substantially. Oh. So the new substitute bill that came out of the House Agriculture Committee did this by limiting these limits to synthetic hemp products, but not natural hemp products. And the bill passed out of the committee and is in the House Rules Committee, and it's now waiting to go to the floor. So the action here would be to call your state representative. Information how to find out who that is on our show notes. And call that person and ask that the bill be amended to include all intoxicating hemp products and not just the synthetic hemp products. This amendment would align Georgia law with what is now federal law, and that's what we want to do. That was what the original point of the bill was, to align it to federal law. So call your rep on SB 33 and ask that it be expanded to limit all intoxicating hemp products.
Okay, which is what it originally was.
Yes.
To return to that.
Correct.
And synthetic is terrible, but what's happened with naturally occurring THC is that it's been purified. So its potency has also been increased tremendously in the changes through the years for marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything has gotten stronger and more dangerous.
Right. And more addictive.
And more addictive.
Which is the purpose.
Yes.
Because at the end of the end, you know, I mean, what is it always? You know, all about the money.
That's right. Built-in customer base, people who can't live without it.
That's right.
Okay. So now let's look at SB 395. And we haven't talked about this very much, but this is a bill that GRMP supports. It addresses the requirements for physicians to report data. It is now passed in both chambers. The House added amendments requiring physicians to report on the dosages and outcomes and drug interactions. And so it's gathering data that we really need to have to determine whether this is a good policy or a bad policy. It will allow Georgians to track the effectiveness of medical marijuana while protecting patient anonymity. It would not be patient-specific. So the action item here is our listeners can call the senator and urge the Senate to agree to the House's amendments. It has got to go back to the Senate because the House changed it a little bit. So call the senator, call your senator, and ask him or her to agree to the House changes on 395.
Okay.
And the last one on marijuana is SB 254. And so this is one that we're not even having an action item on this, but this is still being changed. It originally was to provide limits to hemp, which most people would support, but then it was changed to allow these products to be sold in retail liquor stores. But right now the bill is just going back and forth and with amendments, and so nobody knows exactly what it's going to look like at the end. So there's really nothing mm-hmm. to do right now. But those are the marijuana bills. And by the way, if you're interested in the church's position on marijuana, you can read paragraph 2292 of the Catechism. Mm,
thank you. What about the obscenity bills we're following? SB 74, which is one of what I understand the most consequential bills.
Yeah, and we're sort of broken records on this because mm-hmm. we had a discussion with Priscilla Bentz earlier this session about this and why it's needed. This is the bill that would simply require libraries to move obscene materials from the children's section to the adult section. It's right now under Georgia law, it is perfectly legal yes. for a library, whether school or public, to provide materials that would be considered obscene under Georgia law to children.
Like, why do we even need this?
Yes.
it's really the question.
In a sane world, we would not need this. But SB 74 has been amended, and as we sit here today on Friday recording this, we're not sure exactly what some of the amendments are. There's some discussion going on at the Capitol right now today about it. So we don't have an action item for you other than to check our website. We'll keep you updated on that, on the chart, on everything there. And also pray that a good bill, one that really is effective, will pass. Now, the other obscenity bill, has been a little bit of movement on this, HB 171. This would clarify that Georgia law prohibits child pornography that is AI-generated. Doesn't matter that there's not an actual child there. It prohibits that genre of pornography. And so this bill passed the House. The language has now been added to a Senate bill in the House. Apparently, they thought this bill standalone wasn't going to move. So they've taken the language from HB 171 and moved it to a Senate bill that is in the House so that it must return to the Senate for an agree or a disagree. So the action item on this, and this should not be controversial, but, you know, the porn industry also has a lot of money.
Right.
So we should all call our senators and ask your senator to vote to agree to the House changes to this bill. So that's 171, HB 171.
Okay. And again, this will all be on our website, thequestatlanta.com. Let's talk about the life issues.
There has been a couple of there's been movement on a couple of bills. One is HB 1275. This is a bill that would prohibit the use of aborted fetal cells in research. It passed the House, and now it has passed the Senate committee. That has happened this week.
Okay, go ahead.
So it goes to the Senate Rules Committee, which, again, is the last step before it would go to the Senate floor. And if rules will spit it out and send it to the floor, and they don't have to do that, but we would hope that they would, then the Senate could vote on it too. So HB 1275 is in Senate rules.
And who do we call for that?
You could call somebody in the Senate Rules Committee. So you could call the chairman of Senate Rules, and that we have the link to all the committees, and you can, or if your senator happens to be on that committee, wonderful. Call
Even
that
better,
senator.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They always listen to constituents. Yes.
That's right.
Right.
And then there's HB 350.
Yes, this is the baby box bill that we talked about with Suzanne Guy earlier. This has had some movement, too. This is the bill that would provide a safe space for new mothers to leave their babies. It's an abortion alternative. I won't abort him, but I can't really keep him. So it would provide these safe spaces close to government facilities or fire facilities, that kind of thing, that monitored 24 hours a day. So if a woman leaves a baby there, somebody will be there within minutes to pick up the baby.
And she won't have, she can remain anonymous.
She can remain anonymous. That's right. So this is the baby box bill. It passed the House. It has now passed the Senate committee this week. And so it has gone to Senate rules. I don't think this bill is very controversial. This might be one that you just don't want to get lost in the shuffle and all the panic at the last few days.
So would you want to talk to the Senate Rules Committee and while you're talking to them about HB 1275?
As long as you're on the phone, as long as I have you.
By the way, we really want this baby box.
Yeah.
You know, bill to pass.
And it's a bipartisan bill. It should pass.
That's right. Okay.
All right. And then HB 1138 we have talked about with Brenda Stoll this year. This is the one that would essentially allow over-the-counter chemical contraceptives, because it would allow pharmacists to dispense or to inject, depending on the contraceptive. These contraceptives, even to minors. And minors would have to have a prescription originally, but say you've got a 16-year-old girl who comes in and she's got a prescription from the local Planned Parenthood doctor, you know, who will write these things with no questions asked. And then this bill would allow that prescription to put her on a years long cycle of this, because the pharmacist could renew it just in perpetuity.
Yeah.
So, and then
so dangerous.
Yeah, for women who are older than that, the bill says that there has to be a standing order, but I'm not quite sure what a standing order is compared to a prescription. But anyway, this is a bill that, as Brenda explained to us, would really, really open up all kinds of problems, because not all women respond to these drugs very well, and they're not going to know sometimes what's happening inside their body. That is why you go to the doctor periodically if you are doing this. Right. And this would allow pharmacists to just bypass that.
And there are some serious consequences, side effects of these.
Definitely.
Cardiovascular.
Yes, cancer.
Cancer and strokes.
Yes.
And yeah, that any of this could happen in this.
Right.
And there's no physician oversight with this.
No.
Not to mention the fact that there's no conversation between different drugstores.
That's right.
You go to CVS and you can, you know, get your 10-month or a year prescription for this.
Yeah.
And then you go to Walgreens and they'll give you an antibiotic that might even reduce the effect of the contraceptive.
Could very well happen, because nobody knows what
you're... conversation between those. So you have no control over that.
You have no control.
Very dangerous.
That is the danger of the bill. Now, this bill, which is HB 1138, passed the House, and it is now in the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. So people could call members of Senate Health and Human Services, and especially if your senator is on that committee, it would be nice for that person to hear from you. And I will warn that this is a bipartisan bill.
It's moving very fast.
It's a Republican-sponsored bill. Yeah.
Make your phone calls and educate them as to the dangers of this.
Right.
Because there's a lot to read and follow, and time is running short, and they're not going to be overseeing this.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be the person that educates them.
Exactly.
And tell them we do not want this. And it's an election year. Especially if you're a constituent, say you do not want this, and you're watching what they're voting.
Exactly.
You are listening to Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest. We are rapidly approaching the final day of the 2026 Georgia General Assembly, and Jane and I are explaining what's happening, what you can expect this week, and how you can help in this last legislative week. One of the most politically charged bills this session is HB 54. Would you explain this, Jane, as well as what might happen with this bill in the final negotiations this coming week? This is a crazy week. Very unpredictable.
Crazy among crazy, yes.
Crazy among crazy. And that's where we get our popcorn out on the final day.
That's right. That's right.
Tell us what could happen with this bill.
Okay. This bill, HB 54, is one of those bills that didn't start out to deal with this topic at all. What this bill now does is that it would add puberty blockers to the list of prohibited medical interventions for minor children who are confused about their sex.
Right, which is what we are for.
Yes, yes. And people who are interested in this topic, or even if you're not that interested, if you think you're not interested, listen to Dr. Quentin Van Meter, who has been with us and recently, and look and listen to his podcast on that.
That was just last weekend.
It was last weekend. I'm losing all track of time.
Here.
So he explains what the problem is with giving these puberty blockers to children and interrupting natural puberty. So Georgia law for several years now has prohibited giving wrong sex hormones to minors who are confused. And also it prohibits the surgeries, the mutilating surgeries on minors. But several years ago, they cut out the part that said puberty blockers. So puberty blockers were still legal. You just had to wait until you were 18 to get the hormones or the surgery. So this bill would try to repair that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really going anywhere. It passed the Senate last year, and then it never went anywhere in the House. Well, what has happened this year is one of these little tricks of the trade that we have talked about before, which is that you can take the language from one bill and attach it to a different bill. And so that can be one way that you avoid the problem that your bill's not moving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can stick it on another bill. And there are some
requirements. There's some limitations on that. It has to be a bill that is so-called germane, but that's a, a definitional problem, shall we say. So
that was like the Derby cars, right, with gambling.
Oh, that's exactly
pine, yeah. The pine. What is it? What is
Pinewood Derby?
Yeah, Pinewood Derby.
Pinewood Derby. Yeah. So what happened was the sponsors of this anti-puberty blocker language attached it to another bill in the House. It's HB 54. And so that passed on the Senate floor, but it has to go back to the House because the House never passed that. So it's got to go back to the House to agree or disagree. So this is another situation in which you call your representative mm-hmm. and you say, please vote to agree to these changes.
Okay. The danger of the puberty blockers, which mm-hmm. you can find by listening to the podcast with Dr. Quentin Van Meter, is it's a gateway. You know, they don't.
Oh, it, once
they don't. They once they start.
Yeah,
right,
once
Jane?
They start, it's almost 100% of them will go on to the
right.
to the even more dangerous things. And not only is it a gateway, but it itself, the puberty blockers themselves have serious medical complications to the extent that we know what they are, because
right.
we've never done this before. So we don't know if somebody stays on puberty blockers for 3 or 4 years, how does that affect that person 10 years from now, 20 years from now?
Right.
Nobody has any idea. And they're just handing this stuff out.
Right.
And interestingly, it's not just the people in the trans industry, the ones who, you know, have their gender clinic or whatever. It's also Planned Parenthood. They've been losing some money on abortions, so they have now gotten into this business too.
Right.
So this is it's a gallery of rogues out there that are pushing this stuff.
Right.
And so HB 54 needs to pass. There's no reason that we should be allowing this on minor children.
Right. There's one religious liberty bill
mm-hmm.
that we've been following. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is SB 591, and we've had some movement on this. This is a bill that would prohibit the disruption of religious services, you know, that happened up in Minneapolis mm-hmm. where protesters went in and interrupted the church service. This would keep protesters from doing that in Georgia. This bill has passed the Senate. As of this week, it has now passed the House committee, and it's now in the House Rules Committee. So we'll see if that comes onto the floor. I suspect that it will. After all, as you say, it's an election year, and I think this is a popular bill.
That
shouldn't
right.
be allowed to disrupt services. So that's SB 591 now in House Rules.
Okay. And then we have a couple of education bills.
Yeah, there is one, SB 497, that mandates reporting that a school report to parents when those parents' child receives, quote, non-instructional services, close quote. This would include counseling, if they've been to see the counselor for something that's, you know, non-academic, if they've been to the doctor or the school nurse or something. That parents would just have to be notified that their child has gotten these services. This bill passed the Senate. It is now in the House Education Committee, and to my knowledge, we're recording this on Friday, as of yesterday, it had not yet been heard in the Senate committee. So, no, excuse me, in the House committee. So you could call members of the House Education Committee and ask them to move this bill.
Okay. There, a couple of years ago, we talked about these medical clinics that were popping up all mm-hmm. over in the schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that just growing even?
Oh, it is
wider.
Growing. Yes, it is, because schools are now considered in so many cases to be just therapeutic institutions. And so they're there to provide mental health services and physical, and maybe you need a referral to your local Planned Parenthood or whatever. Mm. And I'm hoping this is not as bad in Georgia as it is in some other places, but there are other places where children have been subjected to all kinds of things in the school, and the parents were never told.
Oh, no.
So this would just nip that in the bud.
Yeah, that would be great. And
right.
then 328.
328, yeah. We had talked about this bill last year, which is about the student, what is it called? Student Scholarship Organizations,
right.
SSOs, that where you can, like the Georgia Goal, and it used to be the Grace Scholars, and now it's Georgia
right.
Goal, and we hear about that every year, that you can get a tax credit on your state taxes mm-hmm. if you give a certain amount of money to one of these student scholarship organizations that would help a needy child to attend a private school, maybe a Catholic school. And the limitation on the dollar amount for years and years had been stuck at $100 million, the total that people could give, not you personally. but the bill now, it didn't go anywhere last year, but now it has restored the language that would increase that limit to $225 million, which would allow a lot more of us to give money for that. It has passed the House. It has now passed the Senate, and it must return to the House to agree to the Senate changes in the bill.
Okay.
So you can call your representative and say, please vote to agree to the changes on HB 328.
Excellent. All right. And that's, again, another one that's moving fast.
Yeah.
We can just push it over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So it will happen.
Right.
We are in the final week.
We think.
Uh-oh.
Well, there was something in the AJC yesterday that said that some of the leadership in the legislature had polled all of the members. And I can't remember if this was just the Republicans or if it was Democrats too. Mm-hmm. But they polled the members to see what their plans were right after sine die, right after the last day of the session.
Which is Thursday.
Mm-hmm. This coming Thursday.
Right.
And the suggestion here was that maybe if they didn't have too many legislators who already had non-refundable packages for Disney World, that they would go over a day or two or three, which they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, as we sit here, sine die is on Thursday the 2nd.
Okay.
But there's at least a little glimmer out there that maybe somebody has considered pushing it back a little bit, and that would give another day or two, which can be either good or bad, depending on how you look at it and what bills you're interested in. So that's a possibility. But right now, we're operating under the assumption that it's Thursday the 2nd. That's the last day.
Mm. And we'll keep you posted. You can go to our website,
mm-hmm.
questatlanta.com.
Yeah, I'm trying to update the chart so you can check on bills. And in our show notes, you will see the links to get to the committees and get all the information you need.
The final day is on Thursday. There's really only 2 days that there will be activities, correct?
I would have to look. I can't remember
Wednesday?
Because one day there would be a committee day, yeah, but I think you're probably right about that. I'm not sure, but those days will be wild, and the sunny day, because the rules committees will meet all day long. Normally a rules committee will meet, you know, once a day, but the last few days they'll meet all day long, so they can kick out more bills.
Okay, because a lot of these bills are being held in the rules.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then they
and
kick
some
them
of them are going to die there. There's not time. So that's why we have to make our voices known on the ones that we really, really want to get out of rules, and we'll deal with the rest of them later.
Okay, so try to call today.
They're not going to be answering the phone on the weekends, I don't think, but you leave a message at what bill, and I guarantee you they will write it down, because they keep a record of who calls in favor or in opposition to what bills. And so they'll write it down on Monday if you call over the weekend.
And always, we need to pray.
Yes.
And Jane, would you just close us with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Father, as you have brought us to this most holy of weeks in the church, it is also a critical week in our legislature. We ask that you would keep somewhere in their minds, the legislators would think about how holy this week is and what they're supposed to be accomplishing, and give them guidance, give them discernment, give them wisdom, and give them the courage to do what they need to do. And we always give you thanks, Lord, for not only for the good people who work down there, but also for all of our listeners, all of the good Christians, the good Catholics who are willing to take a little bit of time and make a difference by letting our voices be known. We pray for all of your help and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This has been Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Listen again next week at this same time for Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.